time in the presence of God. So let's notice again that deep yearning that we have for this time with God as we sing Church Hymnal 4, 5, 50, as the deer pants. Psalm 92 is the Sabbath psalm, and it starts like this: It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High, proclaiming your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night, to the music of the ten-stringed lyre and the melody of the harp. We have a built-in desire to praise God once you've met Him, because God is glorious and wonderful. Let's do that now by singing All Creatures of Our God and King, CH 4147. IT team a moment. There we go.
Thank you.
Let us pray. God of rest, today we choose to enter into your rest and to join with you in delighting in this good world that you have made, and also in dreaming of the perfect world that you will remake. As we recognize and are pained by the conflicts and the wrongs done in your world, we mourn with you, but we rejoice in knowing that this will not stay the way it is. And so, God of rest, we choose to tune out of demands and headlines, of performance pressures and of flickering screens, of that which robs our soul of joy. We tune out to the ways in which the world seeks to define and to shape our identity, to tell us who we are. We choose to tune in to your affirmation and your love, to the celebration of freedom, to worship in your word, and to the enjoyment of that which fills us with joy and reminds us of the identity in Christ that we have as deeply loved children of God. And therefore we turn to you and we place our lives in your loving hands as we pray the family prayer of your church. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Grant, over to you.
Good morning. So our scene setter this morning two woodcutters applied for the same job, and the job would go down to the one who cut the most trees in the day. The first was an old, grizzled, experienced woodcutter, and the second was a younger, stronger man, eager to prove his ability. Both men set out to chop. The younger, stronger woodcutter kept chopping all day, aware that the older man was taking, as you'd expect, frequent rests. At the end of the day, when the two woodcutters compared to see who'd chopped the more wood, the younger and astonished woodcutter was astonished to find that the older woodcutter, who kept taking breaks, had chopped significantly greater amounts of wood. He said, "How is this even possible? You spent far less time chopping than I did. I'm stronger and never once stopped cutting down the trees. What's your secret?" The experienced man said, "Every time I sat down, I was sharpening my axe." Rest is important. It improves productivity. And the advertising industry has tapped into this. Can you remember the advertising slogan for Kit Kat? Have a break, have a Kit Kat. What about this one? Yep, you've got it. A Mars a day helps you work, rest, and play. And the digital age is making it harder to do this. It encourages us to be working 24/7. And this advertising clip captures something of this.
"I'm dying."
"Oh, we're dying.
If you can hear us, honey, your father and I are dying."
"I'm dying. I'm dying.
I'm dying."
"Does anyone have a charger?"
"Yeah, just down here."
"I'm in."
"Sorry, I'm dying."
"I'm dying."
So yes, it's an advertisement for Chromebook. So if you're tired of charging, if you're tired of plugging in, if you're tired of dying, You want an all-day battery life and the adverts, Chromebook. There's some product placement here as well, but that's beside the point. The danger of working 24/7, of course, is burnout. And when we're working flat out, it doesn't take much to break us. Here's another little video clip I made of a match facing burnout and then being broken. There is no camera trickery. It's simply that if I did it live here, you wouldn't quite see what I was doing. So apologies if it feels a little bit like paint drying at the start, but it will liven up. So just opening an ordinary box of matches, and that's honest gov. So there we've got burnout, just an invisible thread goes round it, just all it takes. And of course, it's the straw that breaks the camel's back when we're on the edge. So here's I'm going to give you a list of short words we use to try and stop burning out happening. Here they are. Need to recharge the batteries, put my feet up, retirement, time out, me time, holiday, unwind, have a power nap, have a long weekend, hit the hay, take a break, take a breather. And I'm sure there's lots of other words you could add in as we try and come up with words that we would use if we're wanting time out. What's missing? What's the obvious one? Relax, yep, okay, relax. Sabbath. Okay, Nick will now come and read a selection of verses on the Bible, on what the Bible has to teach us on the Sabbath. Nick.
You'll be pleased to know we have four readings this morning, but before you start to panic, the first one is standard length, the next three are just two or three verses. Starting to read in Exodus chapter 16, verses 15 to 24. When the Israelites saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" Because they didn't know what it was. Moses said to them, "It is the bread that the Lord has given you for food. This is what the Lord has commanded. Each person is to gather from it what he can eat, an omer per person, according to the number of your people. Each one will pick it up for whoever lives in his tent." The Israelites did so, and they gathered, some more, some less. When they measured with an omer, the one who had gathered much had nothing left over, and the one who gathered little lacked nothing. Each one had gathered what he could eat. Moses said to them, "No one is to keep any of it until the morning." But they did not listen to Moses. Some kept part of it until morning, and it was full of worms and began to stink, and Moses was angry with them. So they gathered it each morning, each person according to what he could eat, and when the sun got hot, it would melt. And on the sixth day, they gathered twice as much food, two omers per person. And all the leaders of the community came and told Moses. He said to them, "This is what the Lord has said. Tomorrow is a time of cessation from work, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Whatever you want to bake, bake today. Whatever you want to boil, boil today. Whatever is left, put aside for yourselves to be kept until morning." So they put it aside until the morning, just as Moses had commanded, and it did not stink, nor were there any worms in it. Our second reading is from Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 15. "Remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. The next reading is taken from Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 to 11. Remember the Sabbath day, keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is within them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. And our final reading is from Hebrews chapter 4, verses 9 to 11. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience.
Thank you, Nick. Jesus said the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Shabbat Shalom is the Hebrew greeting, which means have a peaceful Sabbath rest. And I could feel your disappointment that there was no strap line in the scene setter. So here it is. Shabbat Shalom, the gift that keeps on giving. Shabbat Shalom is the Hebrew greeting. Shalom, as I said last week in the scene setter, is a word I love. It's so rich. It encompasses words like wholeness, wellness, harmony, contentment, tranquility, prosperity, justice. And in practice, again, as we saw last week, it means peace with God, peace with each other, peace with creation. It's a great word, isn't it? Shabbat means to cease, to stop, to rest. It's where we get the word Sabbath from. And in the Bible, Sabbath is a really important basic Christian life skill. So before we put some biblical flesh on the bones of this statement, I invite you to do a completely mental reset of the word. So often the word for the Scots has received a bad press. This is a picture of a play park in Rassie. And the image conveys an idea of Sabbath which is negative, boring, and it's something that gets imposed on others. A legalistic, one-size-fits-all approach. A sign that the Pharisees would even have been pleased with. And that might have been the case 50 years ago in Scotland, but now, apart for a few exceptions and places, nothing is restricted. The tills in our towns and cities are going like express trains, 24/7. We are free to make our choices, and we are paying the price for this. Burnout. And this was a term first used in the clinical sense in the 1970s. And it makes us ask the question, have we lost the intended meaning behind the greeting of Shabbat Shalom, the gift that keeps on giving? So let's be open and do this mental reset and approach the word Sabbath as if we were hearing it for the first time. And by doing this, we create the possibility for the idea of a Sabbath to take on a new and deeper meaning in our own lives. Where does the idea of Sabbath first begin in the Bible? Where do we meet the idea? The answer, of course, is here in Genesis. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. So the Sabbath is not some afterthought. It is built into the creation story itself. It establishes a rhythm. And the creation story is why our weeks have 7 days. God made humanity, you and me, in the image of God on the day 6 of creation. And I just love the fact that we got to do what we got to do on our first day. Our first full day of life was, wait for it, rest before we start to work. Jesus says the Sabbath was made for humanity. It is God's gift of rest for his people. So part of the mental reset we have to make is to receive the gift of the Sabbath. It's as not as an imposition. But it's so much more than that, isn't it? And the Greeks had two words for time, both of which were used in the New Testament, chronos and kairos. Chronos is ordinary time, the ticking of a clock, the date that takes us from minute to minute, day to day, and year to year. Chronos is the root of many of our own words, chronology, chronicle, chronic. And this word derives from one of the Greek gods, Cronus. And Cronus was a nasty god. He swallowed his own children. He was all-consuming. And from our perspective this morning, Cronus time will eat us alive if we do not constantly keep track of it and control it. We often say, are you keeping busy? Don't waste time. Time is of the essence. We keep going 24/7. Cronus time is quantifiable. God created Cronus time in Genesis. And we are to use that time wisely in both paid and unpaid work to create beauty. But we can so easily get caught up in the mantra, can't we? The rat race that develops from out time is money. And then our identity becomes what I do, where I live, what I earn, what I have, rather than who I am as a child of God. And Cronus starts to eat us alive. We have working breakfasts, working lunches, and the biggest oxymoron of all, working vacations. Kairos, on the other hand, is the qualitative time of God, of life. And Kairos was the Greek god of opportunity. He has winged feet and darts about. And he's a long lock of hair that hangs over his bald head. The idea being that you have to seize the moment when opportunity arises. You have to quickly grasp this lock of hair. In the Bible, Kairos time is the appointed time. It is divinely ordained. Note in Genesis, we've read it earlier, God rested, God blessed the seventh day and made it holy. In Kairos time, you're not to ask, what time is it? But what is the time for? Yes, Kairos time is within Cronus time, but Sabbath time is not about Cronus time. It is about Kairos time, where we're invited to lie down in green pastures, to reflect on one's identity as a child of God, to be nourished spiritually and be restored physically, to trust that God will provide for all our needs. And then we return to work after the Sabbath, rested, refueled, restored, revitalized, refreshed. Our woodcutter story from earlier in the scene setter catches some of this sentiment. It's a gift. Seize the opportunity. The Israelites, during their exodus from Egypt to the Promised Land, lived on manna for 40 years. There was a sufficient daily amount for everyone. It was a flaky substance that appeared in the morning and rotted by the next day, except on the sixth day where it lasted during the seventh day, the day that the Lord had made Kairos time, the Sabbath. Manna was not a commodity to be bought and sold, but a gift from God. And the double quantity on the sixth day allowed the Israelites to cease from activity and experience rest. It taught them to trust in the Lord's provision and not their own. And there's echoes of this lesson in the feeding of the 5,000 in the New Testament and the Lord's Prayer, which we said earlier, where God provides, provided, and will continue to provide. So why do we find it so hard to trust that we can take time out? Why are we prepared to play fast and loose with this commandment and face the risk of physical and spiritual burnout? It all comes down to the fact, I think, that we are to a greater extent living as if we were slaves. We're all shackled to a greater or lesser extent to the false gods of this world, the world that the advertising industry has us bought into. In our reading from Deuteronomy, the Sabbath is connected to the command to remember Egypt, to God liberating his people from slavery, from the tyranny of Pharaoh. And Pharaoh in the Old Testament is seen as a human king representing everything that stands against God's rule. Under Pharaoh, there was no peace, no rest, no freedom, just fear, greed, and power. Exploitation of the weak, work, work, work. And of course, in this, we can hear echoes of the world's dictatorships. And it's not a big jump to see echoes also in many of the world's economies. Your identity is as secure is as long as you're producing economic wealth. Our culture revolves around productivity, fueled by advertising, targeted at always needing more, selling us stuff we don't need. Our culture measures my value, your value, by productivity. And are we at success or not at achieving this? Not only are we slaves to consumerism, we are slaves to our own self-importance. If it wasn't for me, the world would stop spinning. We need to be at the center of it. And again, these words you've seen before, shove off God, I'm in charge, no to your ways, is the mantra. So the Sabbath is the antidote to this type of thinking. The Sabbath reminds us we are not in control. The Sabbath reminds us to trust that the world will keep on spinning, that the kingdom of God does not have the same values as this world, and that it is liberating, and the Sabbath also influences how we engage with the world. But there's more. Have I already mentioned it's the gift that keeps on giving? Not only do we experience physical and spiritual nourishment, so does creation. The benefits are also ecological. For the Sabbath system is much more than one Sabbath every 7 days. It also consists of one Sabbath every 7 years, and then the year of Jubilee every 50 years. The principle at stake is it allows the land to rest as well. And in this sense, the Sabbath gives a liberation of the land for it to be more productive. And with modern urbanized culture, there is a tendency to be disconnected from the land. We have lost an intimacy with the land. Land is no longer seen as a gift, it's a possession. We have been consumers of the earth, not producers. And we're paying the price, not least with the reduction in biodiversity, such as the loss of insects. But we still need to dig deeper to discover that there's still more to the Sabbath. For the Israelites, Sabbath rest was a community experience involving families, servants, and animals. It was also an activity that was a witness to the surrounding nations. It distinguished Israel from the surrounding nations. It was a witness to God's provision. It was a witness that God is in control, where everybody is reminded of their identity as a child of God. It is therefore familial, it is communal, it is ecological, it is physical, it is spiritual, it is liberating. And then with the Kairos moment of the incarnation, Jesus came to fulfill the Sabbath, to offer Sabbath rest, to open the doors to the kingdom of God. And so we're now in that familiar now and not yet territory. Jesus' fulfillment of the Sabbath is for the here and now, but it's also for the future, when Jesus will come again. And in the here and now, we find spiritual rest through the working of the Holy Spirit. And when he comes again, we will know perfect rest, shalom, in all its fullness. Jesus also kept the Sabbath. The Sabbath is consecrated time. And as we're realizing, if it's solely about taking a day off, we have missed the point. It requires preparation and discipline to fully experience the gift that keeps on giving. So what's the application? We need to work out how we apply the Sabbath principles to our own lives. We need to develop a rhythm to our week where we cease from our usual activity, where we remember God's intervention in the world and remember our own release from slavery, from bondage to sin, where we remember that God is in control. Ideally, we do it in community, but one size does not fit all. We need to be proactive to work out how we do this. We need to plan it. It won't happen by itself. And my Sabbath day may be on a different Sabbath day from someone else. And it may, how I spend it may look completely different from those of us who live in a city, from those of us who live in the country. For the sports person who has to play sport on a Sunday, for the minister who has to work on a Sunday, for those of us who are unemployed, for those of us who are retired. If we are not in paid employment, the Sabbath also makes us consider what unpaid work is. What is unpaid work in family life, in church life, in community life? We rest to work. Then recalibrated, refreshed, we return to the work that God has called us to do, both paid and unpaid. There is no such thing as retirement from God's work. Shalom Shabbat is the gift that keeps on giving. And may that be all our experience, and not just ours, but all of creation, not just in the life to come, but in the here and now. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious and loving God, you want us to flourish, to be the people you created us to be. You created us to work. You created us to rest. You created us to worship. And we struggle to get our life balance correct with you at the center of everything we do and think. And as we struggle to make ends meet, we suffer anxiety, stress, exhaustion, burnout. We lose sight of the freedom that comes from being part of your kingdom. Show us how to make Sabbath rest real in our life, to create a rhythm to our lives, to our weeks, to our months, to our years, that allow us to be restored, revitalized, refreshed, recalibrated, refueled, reinvigorated by you, ready to return to the work you have called us to do, both as individuals, as a community, experiencing it as your gift to us, trusting that you will provide as you promised. Amen. We now sing CH 4485, Dear Lord and Father of Mankind, picking up the theme of Sabbath rest.
Valerie Moore will now lead us in prayer.
Psalm 62 tells us, "My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from him. He is my fortress. I shall never be shaken." Let us pray. Dear Father, we begin by praying for our church here at St. Andrew's, Lambride and Urquhart, for each and every member of the congregation, whether here in church, watching the service live, or later at home. We thank you for the fellowship within our congregation, where so many are working to keep the name of Salu to the fore in the local and wider community, united in their promise to know, love, and serve. The Kirk Session, the Guild, the Thrift Shop, TOFM, Connect, the technical experts keeping everybody in touch and informed. The Presbytery planning team as they work to find the best way forward for Moray parishes. And now, as restrictions are lifted further, we thank those who provide the beautiful, ever-changing flowers and those who provide the welcome cuppa after the service. We pray for all who are sick and suffering, especially those who struggled and are still struggling after almost 2 years of pandemic. Help us to understand how to keep each other safe while striking the balance of enabling lives to be lived too. During your ministry on earth, you showed your power and caring by healing people of all ages, and we pray that you will be present for those who need your loving touch. The bereaved, the lonely, the homeless, those who feel isolated from the rest of society, and those who carry burdens of sorrow. Take away the fear and anxiety from those who are ill, those waiting for operations, and those undergoing treatment. We think especially of those whose sickness has no cure, whose loneliness cannot be filled, and whose sadness finds no comfort. We thank you for the blessings of this country, for the freedom we enjoy, and we pray for those who live in danger of violence and persecution because of race, belief, or gender. For those who live in fear of famine, disease, and destitution, and those who live without hope. We think now especially of Afghanistan and the Yemen, when at times we seem overwhelmed by the humanitarian misery being borne by so many. We see families with no shelter and little to eat in the coldest of winters. We see orphans walking lonely roads to uncertain futures, and we wonder what we can do to help. We give thanks for those offering practical help on the ground: Christian Aid, Save the Children, UNICEF. Give strength to those in power to talk to one another, that they may see a way forward to bring an end to this suffering. There are so many needs, but we know your power is great and your name is powerful. Prayer offers hope. We pray that you will be present with the people of the Ukraine at this time of danger, fear, and conflict. Grant that peace may yet prevail and give all suffering nations the freedom they deserve. Closer to home, we know there are many families who struggle on a day-to-day basis, living in unsuitable accommodation, facing the choice of putting food on the table or having warmth. We give thanks for those working to help and support them, and we pray that those who wield economic power will work with wisdom and compassion, and that your voice will be heard when decisions are being made. We remember now those who are suffering from the results of the recent storms and flooding, those whose lives, homes, and livelihoods have been affected, and we give thanks for the emergency services and volunteers who have worked tirelessly to bring relief. We pray that leaders and scientists working to adapt to the future changing climate will make just decisions which respect the earth and all living in it. As she embarks on her platinum jubilee year, we ask for your blessing on our Queen, and we give thanks for her 70 years of dignified public duty and service. We pray for all who govern in her name. Grant them wisdom and integrity, that they may carry out their duties in the best interests of all, remembering always that they are your servants, just as your Son came to serve. As we go from this church today to prepare for the week and the months ahead, looking forward to the arrival of spring with trees coming into leaf and bulbs coming into flower, we know that you will be at our side, guiding us in all that we say and do. We feel safe in the knowledge that your fatherly love and care knows no bounds. Amen.
Our closing hymn is, "The Lord's My Shepherd." Go now with the rest and the peace of God in your hearts, and go with God's blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift his face towards you and give you peace. The Lord shine upon you with his full glory and be gracious to you. Amen.